Chapter 38. They are introduced by Captain Hill and Mr. Baggett, who escort them. Lady Salisbury presents them to the Prince and others. Prince of Wales, by gad, Viscount, we were just talking of thee. You had some adventures in getting to this country? Madarosa, assisted by Baggett as interpreter, sir, it has indeed been a trying experience for us. But here we are, impressed by a deep sense of gratitude for the signal marks of attachment your country has shown us. Prince of Wales, you represent, practically, the Spanish people? Madarosa, we are immediately deputed, sir, by the Assembly of Asturias, more sailing soon from other provinces. We bring official writings, charging us to clinch and solder treaties with this realm, that may promote our cause against the foe. Nextly a letter to your gracious king, also a proclamation, soon to sound, and swell the pulse of the peninsula, declaring that the act by which King Carlos, and his son Prince Fernando cede the throne, to whomsoever Napoleon may appoint, being an act of cheatery, not of choice, unfetters us from our allegiant oath. Mrs. Fitzherbert, the usurpation began, I suppose, with the divisions, in the royal family? Madarosa, yes, madam, and the protection they foolishly requested from the emperor, and their timid intent of flying secretly helped it on. It was an opportunity he had been awaiting for years. Mrs. Fitzherbert, all brought about by this man Godoy, Prince of Peace. Prince of Wales, dash my wig, mighty much you know about it, Maria. Why, sure, Boney thought to himself, this Spain is a pretty place. 'Twill just suit me as an extra acre or two, so here goes. Don Diego, aside to Baggett, this lady is the Princess of Wales? Baggett, HSH, no, senior. The Princess lives at large at Kensington and other places, and has parties of her own, and doesn't keep house with her husband. This lady is, well, really his wife, you know, in the opinion of many, but, Don Diego, ah. Ladies a little mixed, as they were at our court. She's the peepatudo to this Prince of Peace? Baggett, oh no, not exactly that, senior. Don Diego, yeah. Good. I'll be careful, my friend. You are not saints in England more than we are in Spain. Baggett, we are not. Only you sin with naked faces, and we with masks on. Don Diego, virtuous country. Duchess of Rutland, it was understood that Ferdinand, Prince of Asturias, was to marry a French princess, and so unite the countries peacefully? Madarosa, it was. And our credulous prince was tempted to meet Napoleon at Bayonne. Also the poor simple king, and the infatuated queen, and Manuel Godoy. Duchess of Rutland, then Godoy escaped from Aranjuez? Madarosa, yes, by hiding in the garret. Then they all threw themselves upon Napoleon's protection. In his presence the queen swore that the king was not Fernando's father. Altogether they form a queer little menagerie. What will happen to them nobody knows. Prince of Wales, and do you wish us to send an army at once? Madarosa, what we most want, sir, are arms and ammunition. But we leave the English ministry to cooperate in its own wise way, anyhow, so as to sustain us in resenting these insults from the tyrant of the earth. Duchess of Rutland, to the Prince of Wales, what sort of aid shall we send, sir? Prince of Wales, we are going to vote 50 millions, I hear. We'll whack him, and preserve your noble country for ye, senior Viscount. The debate thereon is to come off tomorrow. It will be the finest thing the Commons have had since Pitt's time. Sheridan, who is open to it, says he and Canning are to be absolutely unanimous. And, by God, like the parties in his Riddick, when government and opposition do agree, their unanimity is wonderful. Viscount Madarosa, you and your friends must be in the gallery. Oh, damn ye, you must. Madarosa, sir, we are already pledged to be there. Prince of Wales, and Harkey, senior Viscount. You will then learn what a mighty fine thing a debate in the English Parliament is. No continental humbug there. Not but that the court has a trouble to to keep them in their places sometimes, and I would have been one in the Lord's instead. However, Sheridan says he has been learning his speech these 2 days, and has hunted his father's dictionary through for some stunning long words. Now, Maria, to Mrs. Fitzherbert, I am going home. Lady Salisbury, at last, then, England will take her place in the forefront of this mortal struggle, and in pure disinterestedness fight with all her strength for the European deliverance. God defend the right. The Prince of Wales leaves, and the other guests begin to depart. Semi-chorus I of the year's aerial music, leave this glib throng to its conjecturing, and let 4 burdened weeks uncover what they bring. Semi-chorus to the said debate, to wit, it's close indeed, till England stands enlisted for the patriots' needs. Semi-chorus I, and transports in the docks gulp down their freight of buckled fighting flesh, and gale-bound, watch and wait. Semi-chorus to, till gracious zephyrs shoulder on their sails to where the brine of Biscay moans its tragic tales. Chorus, bear we to, south, as we were swallow vanned, and mark the game now played there by the master hand. The reception chamber is shut over by the night without, and the point of view rapidly recedes south, London and its streets and lights diminishing till they are lost in the distance, and its noises being succeeded by the babble of the Channel and Biscay waves. Scene IV, Madrid and its environs. The view is from the housetops of the city on a moldy evening in this July, following a day of suffocating heat. The sunburnt roofs, warm ochreous walls, and blue shadows of the capital, wear their usual aspect except for a few feeble attempts at decoration. Dumb show, gazers gather in the central streets, and particularly in the Puerta del Sol. They show curiosity, but no enthusiasm. Patrols of French soldiery move up and down in front of the people, and seem to awe them into quietude. There is a discharge of artillery in the outskirts, and the church bells begin ringing, but the peals dwindle away to a melancholy jangle, and then to silence. Simultaneously, on the northern horizon of the arid, unenclosed, and treeless plain swept by the eye around the city, a cloud of dust arises, and a royal procession is seen nearing. It means the new king, Joseph Bonaparte. He comes on, escorted by a clanking guard of 4,000 Italian troops, and the brilliant royal carriage is followed by 100 coaches bearing his suite. As the procession enters the city, many houses reveal themselves to be closed, many citizens leave the route and walk elsewhere, while many of those who remain turn their backs upon the spectacle. King Joseph proceeds thus through the Plaza Orient to the granite-walled royal palace, where he alights, and is received by some of the nobility, the French generals who are in occupation there, and some clergy. Heralds emerge from the palace, and hasten to divers points in the city, where trumpets are blown, and the proclamation of Joseph as King of Spain is read in a loud voice. It is received in silence. The sun sets, and the curtain falls. Scene V, the open sea between the English coasts, and the Spanish peninsula, from high aloft, in the same July weather, and facing east, the vision swoops over the ocean and its coastlines, from Cork Harbor on the extreme left, to Montego Bay, Portugal, on the extreme right. Land's End and the Scilly Isles, Ushant, and Cape Finisterre, are projecting features along the middle distance of the picture, and the English Channel recedes endwise as a tapering avenue near the center. Dumb show, 4 groups of moth-like transport ships are discovered silently skimming this wide liquid plain. The first group, to the right, is just vanishing behind Cape Mondego to enter Mondego Bay. The second, in the midst, has come out from Plymouth Sound, and is preparing to stand down channel. The third is clearing St. Helens Point for the same course. And the fourth, much further up channel, is obviously to follow on considerably in the rear of the two preceding. A southeast wind is blowing strong, and, according to the part of their course reached, they either sail direct with the wind on their larboard quarter, or labor forward by tacking in zigzags. Spirit of the Pities, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.